turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll go ahead and take here a continued look at the fruit of the Spirit and see what the Lord has for us here. In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, a contrast being made against with the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, because of the indwelling of the Spirit, we see the capital S there. It's a name. It is a person of the Godhead. That manifestation, that fruit that's going to be yielded by the Spirit living within us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no fulfilling of these fruit of the Spirit. You can't get to the point to say, well, I've loved enough. I've accomplished it. I've been peaceful enough, or I've manifested joy enough to satisfy. No, there's no fulfilling again. There's no law in these. There is liberty in these for us to continually manifest these till the day we die. Till the day we die. And you know, when we're gathered together with the Lord, you know, we will manifest all of these fruit perfectly then, because the Lord Jesus Christ does, and we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. And so, there's a work for us to do. There's a pursuit for us. Being saved is not just a thing of, well, the Lord saved my soul, now lay back, kick back, and everything's just fine. No, there's a pursuit in this. You know, I don't love always as I should. I've got to work on that. Amen? Because the Spirit of God lives within. I've got this old man and this old mind that I wrestle with and fight. He's not a lover. He's a hater, the old man. That's what he is. He's a hater. But the new man's a lover. And the Lord's kind of love. I don't manifest joy the way that I should. I got to take that old man when he wants to rise up and be all down in the mouth and pouty and whiny and all that. Got to put him down. And mortify him and work on exhibiting joy. You know, it's been said by our countenance and our way of life and the way that we carry ourselves and show ourselves to those that are around us. If we don't manifest joy, the joy of the Lord, why would anybody want the salvation that we claim we have? Amen? Yeah. I mean, our countenance shows, sure, there's hard times, sure, there's trial, sure, there's suffering and such, but do we manifest these fruit? Do we work towards manifesting them more? I've got to work on that. Peace. Peace, resting in the Lord. When things are just going haywire, do we rest in the Lord? Do we have that peace that He said He's promised us? Not the world, not the way the world gives peace. Not circumstantial peace, not a false peace, but a peace based on Jesus is going to take care of things. No matter how far they get out of my ability to be able to work or to do, but to be able to be at peace, resting in the Lord, to be in a shape and be in a state where the Lord doesn't have to say, Jim, hush, peace be still, Jim. Sometimes that happens. The Lord's got to say, hush. Like He did to those waves there on Galilee. But rather than being in that shape where the Lord, and He does that for us, He does work on us, but rather let's be a possessor and an exhibitor of peace. Amen. And to be, as the Lord said in the Beatitudes, right? Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. We've been saved. We've been rescued. Do we seek the rescue of others around us? Huh? That peace might be made with God and them. Amen? Blessed are the peacemakers. And so then we go on here to long-suffering. Long-suffering, it's another word that's used, and not a lot of word that I was familiar with, to be honest with you, but long-enmity. It's tough for me to pronounce. Long-enmity. Long-suffering. What's that mean? Well, it's kind of run into the same kind of thing where they use long-suffering for the definition of long-suffering. But it's also, it represents patience. This word long-enmity, that's a synonym with long-suffering, I found a modern day definition for it, and I think it is descriptive of this thing of long suffering. There's a couple ways to look at this fruit of long suffering. But here's a modern definition. I believe that it fits. We've got to be careful with that. Brother Chad brought out about Noah Webster's dictionary and the day in which he lived. That is a good reference for us to understand the words of the Scripture and definitions of such. But we have to be careful in taking modern-day translations or modern-day definitions because sometimes they change. But here, for longanimity, a synonym of long-suffering as we understand it, patience. Listen. Good-natured tolerance of delay or incompetentness. Boy. What? Now listen, let's put that in perspective. How competent are you and I? How competent is the Lord? Amen? Who's been long-suffering? And we're supposed to be the children of God, representing God. You know that delay. Okay, yeah, a thing gets delayed and we get antsy and we want it right now. But then we will, at the drop of a hat, jump to justify ourselves when we are hassled by somebody being incompetent that we run into. Huh? Good-natured tolerance of incompetence. That's long-suffering. That's what the Lord's done for us. And that's the way we need to be. Okay? And so, may the Lord help us in that. Amen? Let's take a look at some things. Romans chapter 2. Let's take a look at how the Lord has been with us. When He has dealt with us. Because that's what it is. We don't take these fruit and then make our own definition. But we're to be like the Lord. We're like to be like Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, He was so very honest with His disciples. Remember those times He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe what the Scripture says or what the prophets have written." He was straight with us, wasn't He? Because we are hindered to believe. We are hindered to exhibit faith in and of ourselves, but the Lord's given us His Spirit. We've been given faith. We need to exercise it and add to it. When the Lord speaks, it's the truth. May the Lord help us. May we get over gainsaying, doubting about it. That's what that word gainsaying means. In Romans chapter 2, look here what the Scripture says. Let's start in verse number 1. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man." There, this threefold giving up of the Lord, of those that pursue after God. And then he seems to be addressing something there in the church at Rome about those that are condemning others in their sin, but are guilty of sin themselves. There is also, I believe, that an application here about just mankind. That we always think we're right. It's the other guy that's got a problem, right? What I do is justified. One way or another, I can justify it in my own mind. And it's the other guy that's got a problem, not me. After all, I'm me. How can I be wrong? Right? And so he says, "Therefore, because of these things said in chapter 1, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself." Why? Because it's hypocritical. We're guilty. "Wherefore, when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." And as the children of the Lord, we do need to say what the Lord says. We're never to back away from what the Lord says in His Word. We're always to stand for what it says, even if it lands in my house. Even if it lands on my life. And we could certainly, it'd be appropriate to, if we are guilty, to not stand as if we're not guilty, but say, "That's wrong, and I'm guilty of it too. And it's still wrong." therein lies the beginning of humility. To admit when we are wrong. Anyway, the judges do the same things. Verse 2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And that the judgment is according to truth. That's what we need to stand in. That's what we need to tell and warn folks about, that coming judgment. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No. It goes on down here in verse 11. This whole thought is encapsulated and wrapped up. There is no respect of persons with God. If you're a people, you're heading for judgment one way or another. And sin's going to be dealt with, either in Christ or hell in the lake of fire. It's going to be dealt with. Okay? Verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness? What's the riches of God's goodness? And forbearance and long-suffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God in these things leadeth thee to repentance? We all should have been zapped by God when we were born. But praise God, He was long-suffering. Amen. He let me go through the complicated affair of being conceived and growing in my mother's womb and then being delivered and then not killing me. You too. That's a very complicated affair. But the Lord did so. And then He gave me life. And then He gave you life. And then as we were children and innocent, He blessed that we would have life. And then He brought us to childhood, to adulthood. And even when I came to adulthood, and I became, it was manifested being a rebel against God, He was long-suffering to me. Amen. Long-suffering. He put up with my incompetentness. He put up with my ignorance. He was long-suffering. Amen? Yeah. And that's the kind of long-suffering that we need to exhibit as His children. Does that mean, is any fruit or any attribute or any characteristic of God that we're to pursue and cultivate and seek the Lord's help and cultivation of that in our life, is that ever to the laying down of the Word of God? Well, because we get in our minds and say, well, if I'm going to be long-suffering, I'm going to let sin pass. That's not what that means. It may be a situation that a point of long suffering will be with the sin of another. But what are we going to do? Are we going to join them? Or are we going to stand for what's right? Remember, the judgment of God is in truth, and we need to stand in truth. Sometimes it comes up that we got to say the long suffering has been extended and it's been there. And then sometimes as a church, we've got to say, that's got to stop. That's got to be dealt with. And we need to seek the Lord's help and face in knowing sometimes about when. Sometimes when things become public, they just need to be dealt with. Sometimes things are public and there needs to be long suffering with it. And it's talking about sin or error. Who of us have our doctrine and our way of life perfect? We don't. Is it an excuse? No. Are the things public in our lives? We need to deal with those. We all have things private in our lives. And those things that are there, we need to deal with those too, between us and the Lord. So any characteristic, this fruit of long-suffering, it's not to the allowing of things to pass, but to stand yet in the truth, And to remember how long-suffering the Lord was with us. He was long-suffering with our sin, wasn't He? But He came and He spoke peaceably and pleasantly to us, didn't He? Did God ever change on His stand about sin? No. Did He always represent it in His Word and in many of His people to us as time went on? Yes. But did He not bring us along? Yes, He did, didn't He? He was long-suffering. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Sinner, you that are here and not saved, God has given you yet another day and another moment. Obey. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Cry out unto God for mercy.
Amen.
Cry out unto Him for mercy. It's a blessing for you that are here and not saved to be here in one of the Lord's churches around the Lord's people. That's a blessing.
Amen.
That you might hear the truth about you and your need and about God and about Christ. There are those that don't have that benefit. Remember that little girl that I told you about that one of my daughters met that had never heard about creation? It's a blessing for you to be here. Had never heard about creation and lives in this county. Long-suffering. Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look over here. Ephesians chapter 4. Here the apostle is pleading the church at Ephesus and the members thereof. In verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 4, the scripture says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, I'm begging you, that you walk worthy of the vocation, the calling, wherewith ye are called. With all lowliness, walk that way. Walk with lowliness. Walk with meekness. Power under control. Walk with long-suffering, same word, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing. Forbearing one another. And that part of long-suffering, there's our dealing with sin, and then there's that dealing with getting on one another's nerves. We need to be long-suffering in that. We need to be loving one towards another. We need to be willing to forgive one another quickly. As it says over here in the end of this chapter, he says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, getting back. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Long suffering one with another. He says here back in the first part of the chapter, in verse 2, with all lowliness, walk worthy, with all lowliness and meekness, like the Lord did. He came meek and lowly. Confident in the Lord? Yes, we're to be confident in the Lord, but cocky? No. Thankful? Yes. And the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Forbearing with a long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unified in the Spirit and being peaceful. Being peaceful. Peaceful, having the Lord's peace. There's an issue, go to the Word of God, figure it out, stand by that. There's help that's needed, pursue what the Lord says. And stand and pursue that. Long-suffering. Long-suffering one with another as the Lord has been so with us. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, take a look here. 1 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul speaking here about how the Lord has been long-suffering with him. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we pick it up in verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. It's a blessing, indeed, to be used of the Lord such. Who was before, he said, this is what I was before. I was a blasphemer and a persecutor, and I was injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. That was his past. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering. The Apostle Paul says, I was the chiefest of sinners. And our thinking and our attitude about ourselves must be that. We are the chief of sinners. I am the worst sinner I know. Because I know me. And of myself, I'm bad off. But the Apostle Paul said, in being a blasphemer and being injurious, the Lord was merciful to him. The Lord was gracious to him. And now he's an example. He's a token of the long-suffering of the Lord. That's what we ought to be. That's what we ought to be. For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, verse 16, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. That needs to be our testimony. Jesus was long-suffering to me. He's being long-suffering to you. You need to turn to Christ. You need to receive Christ. We don't need to be an example of long-suffering of the Lord putting up with us with our wickedness and our sin now, do we? We don't need to be that kind of example. We need to be a rescued example, right? Yeah. And the Apostle Paul was thankful and marveled about that and how the Lord had done so. James chapter 5. Long-suffering. Speaking about being a minister, about the people of God, a minister of the Lord, in particular, the lesson is here for us all. In James chapter 5, the apostle here says in verse 10, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. It was by them that the word of God was brought forth to the children of Israel and ultimately to us and to the world by the prophets, right? He said, look at their example. Look at the example. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. That word patience there is the same Greek word as we're seeing over in Galatians chapter 5, long-suffering. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, bringing in this brother, and the example of his life, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Long-suffering that we're to have against trial and tribulation and persecution. You remember what the Lord said about the prophets? You remember what He said about some of those fellas? He said that those in His day built up the sepulchers of the prophets, but said, you show that you're the children of the prophets, or the children of those that killed, that were before you, that your fathers that killed the prophets. Why? Because you don't follow the Word of God either. They, when the prophets were long-suffering, you know, there's not one example in the Scripture where a man of God called by the Lord, that was used of the Lord, other than Jonah, I guess. We see Jonah left off kind of there at Nineveh. But he's the only example of a man called by God that quit on the mission that he was given to the people that he was sent to. Think about that. Moses. Moses was ready to quit, but he didn't quit, did he? God was ready to destroy Israel, and Moses interceded for him. And how many of the brethren that were there? Look what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 23. I think He's alluding to such here. Matthew chapter 23. James said, consider the example of the prophets and the long-suffering that they had with those that they were sent to. In Matthew chapter 23, we pick it up in Verse number 29, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous," like I'd mentioned earlier, "and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of snakes, vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" This is Jesus speaking. "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you the prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel," indicating that he was a man of God, "under the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." Consider the testimony and the long-suffering of the prophets. Most were rejected by those that they were sent to, but because of the calling of the Lord upon them, they kept on. They suffered long with the people. They suffered long with the people. They suffered long with what the Lord had sent them to. It's an example for us. How is it with our long suffering? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 23. The Apostle Paul gives an example here, and I just want you to peruse over these verses. In verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, he says of those that are working mischief in the church there at Corinth. He says here, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more." He gives his testimony here. It says, "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes. Thrice beaten," right? "With rods, stoned, shipwreck, floating around out in the deep," verse 25, "and journeys often, going all around, perils of robbers and countrymen, and perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, painfulness," in verse 27, "and watchings often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold, naked," in verse 27, "the care of the churches." He says he's weak, he's offended, "a glory in the things of the Lord." In Damascus, after the Lord had saved him, within 3 years he had to be let down by a basket just to escape the governor, the mayor of the city, who those that had gathered together, they wanted him dead because of his preaching. Was the Apostle Paul long-suffering with those things that he experienced? Yes, he was. He says, he tells about these visions that it seems that he experienced and how so many years ago, and where he was caught up into the paradise of God, up into the third heaven, if you will, and he's not going to glory in that. He enjoys that, but he was given that thorn in the flesh. He besought the Lord thrice in verse number 8, and the Lord said to him in verse 9, "As he suffered long with those things he experienced, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord saying, "My strength is made perfect." You'll mature in it with you being weak. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory," verse 9, the latter part, "in my infirmities," of chapter 12, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong." The Apostle Paul was long-suffering, wasn't he? In his experience, in his life. And brothers and sisters, understand this. This occurred to me. If I understand it right, and those notes, we believe, those notes at the end of these books that the Apostle wrote, they tell us, that they seek to tell us when he wrote that, but those aren't true. Those have been added, if we understand that right. But you know, in these books of 1st and 2nd Corinthians, there's no mention of Rome or the Romans or Italy. These are all things that the Apostle Paul had experienced before he experienced the things that he experienced from Jerusalem going to Rome and his ultimate death. He had been shipwrecked, it seems, even before he was shipwrecked with the centurion that was taking him to Rome. He had floated around in the deep even seemingly before then. If he wrote this from Rome, then he's maybe telling about that account. But there's no reference or mention to being at Rome if he is there writing it from Rome. It may very well be that he experienced all these things before those things he experienced. Why? It was preparation for that witness and testimony that he would have from Jerusalem to Rome, if that's the case. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that, but I present that to you. And so in his many decades of ministry, he experienced these things. He was long-suffering. Long-suffering one with another. Long-suffering with, if you will, the circumstance of life. And in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's take a look over here. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse number 11, let's get the whole sentence. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, the perseverance of the saints, the steadfastness of our hope that we have in Christ. We believe in Him. We have faith in Him. We trust Him. We know what He tells us is true. The promises that He's made, it gives us hope. Because those things are yet to come to pass. It's not a thing of will it happen or will it not happen. We know what He has told us will come to pass. We have hope in Christ because of it. And He says here, a full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and long-suffering. The word here is patience. It's the same Greek word that we see in Galatians chapter 5. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We've got promises. Promises from the Lord. And we may have to suffer a while before they're manifested and we find ourselves there at the promises. But we're to be. As the Lord has been long-suffering with us, as the prophets were long-suffering with those to whom they were sent, as the Apostle Paul was long-suffering in all the working and the circumstance of his life as he sought to minister to the Gentiles and to those Jews that he could. May the Lord help us that we would be long-suffering. You know, when we purpose, I tell you what, you pray to the Lord, you seek the Lord's face and help in pursuing one of these fruits of the Spirit, to add it to your life, to desire of the Lord that you might increase, say, in long-suffering, get ready, because right there it'll be right on you. You'll have something that'll put you to the test with it. That was the case with me. And studying with this and desiring that, it was right on me. Right on me. and I had to repent before the Lord, said, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. My initial reaction was not a reaction of long suffering. My thinking in this thing that came my way, it wasn't that way. Lord, help me that I would be. And may the Lord help us in it.